As much as I know we really don't want to, I'm going to bring us back in time to the start of COVID. And actually, maybe just a little bit before that. So at Travis and I's fourth wedding anniversary, we kind of talked about pregnancy timelines. We decided we wanted to start trying in the late spring of 2020. And so in the months after this decision, I felt like elevated, like there was so much to look forward to. I ate super healthy. I did a bunch of research and just kind of started dreaming about like what pregnancy would look like. And as we approached our timeline, something happened. News started to surface of a far off virus sweeping China, but it still felt, you know, pretty distant and non-threatening. But then it spread. I heard of it moving, and then I realized it was coming. So as many of you know, I work in a hospital, and I can still remember the day we got our first COVID patient. It really didn't feel real for me until that moment. And then it just kind of exploded. Hour by hour, we were being told we had more and more COVID patients. And that was the beginning of a pretty dark time. Every day coming into work was kind of like coming into a battle you really weren't prepared for. We had debriefing meetings every single day to discuss the changes and updates, because things were literally changing like every hour, every minute, and we were being prepared for the very worst. We heard of hospitals close to us that were getting freezers delivered to house the bodies of the mass casualties they were going to see. And it was around this time that I realized my spring was going to look very different than I had imagined. And I can remember vividly going into Whole Foods, searching for food and toilet paper, only to find empty shelves. And it really, like, it felt like a scene out of a movie, right? Not anything I ever imagined seeing during my lifetime. And I can remember standing in the middle of the grocery store, realizing that I wasn't going to be able to get pregnant on my timeline. I thought to myself, how can I bring a child into this world? Not now. I texted my mom and I told her I was struggling to pray for me and to let her know that Travis and I had been planning on starting a family soon, but we're going to have to wait. And I told her I wasn't okay, that I needed prayer. And then I just cried right in the middle of Whole Foods. Now, I'll admit, I am a crier. You can ask my family and my friends, pretty much anyone. But not usually in the middle of a grocery store, so that was a new low. Days and weeks passed, and really nothing got better. Work felt worse with every passing day. And it was just like this continuous wound being reopened every day. Some of you here in the church lived through my apartment fire with me. And I can remember thinking, you know, how much easier that was to go through than this. Because with that, it happened and it was devastating. But I got to wake up the next day and just start healing, rebuilding my life. And there was hope. And this was different. Every day felt the same, with no hopes of things getting better anytime soon. And I was numb. And I began journaling just to kind of like process everything. And one theme that just kept kind of coming up was the feeling that waves were just capsizing me, like I was drowning. Like every time I got my head above water, another wave would hit, and I would just be a little bit less okay again. And I spent months in these waves, and I was so angry. I had built up these plans in my head of, you know, how 2020 was going to go. We were going to start our family, and this virus just kind of ripped all that away from me. And it would just kind of, you know, hit me suddenly, and then I would just find myself numb all over again, crying because that was the only thing that made me feel better. My mom, she would text me and tell me she was worried about me, and my husband would wait patiently for me to kind of come up from air, from the surface of those waves, just for those brief amounts of time. Now, obviously, as you can see, the story does have a happy ending. And I'm not really sure, you know, at what point I started healing. I think there were a lot of different factors. So I read this book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And it just talked about disappointments in life and how they're not always what we'd choose for ourselves, but that God can use them for his glory. Now, standing here in the sanctuary, I'm going to commit a church Christian sin and say out loud that I really do not like the phrase, all things happen for a reason. Because I really just don't believe that's true. And I think it can be extremely painful and disparaging of people's suffering. And how can we tell a grieving mother that there was a reason her baby died? Or how can we tell a terminally ill patient there's a reason you got cancer? I think we live in an imperfect world, and that just bad things are going to happen. But what I do believe is that when bad things happen, God can use them to show his glory, to show you that your suffering wasn't for nothing. And I think this really does reflect the cross. I had read this book and was reminded that even through disappointments, God is there. Even when things feel hopeless, we serve a mighty God that doesn't want to see you in pain. And I believe he wants the very best for his children. John 16:33 reads, I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So at the start of fall, I felt like I was finally healing, like I was coming out of the waves and swimming to the shore. And it was during this time that Travis and I revisited our timeline for trying to conceive. We decided that on our 5th anniversary trip, we would kind of prayerfully seek God's wisdom in this decision. And so we went to the Indiana Dunes on our trip, and I can remember God speaking to me and just kind of telling me that it was really never his decision for us to wait. I was the one that put that on my shoulders, that he would have protected us regardless. And I can just remember feeling like at peace with knowing that God was there. Even when I was struggling, he would have been there if I would have just let him. And I finally felt at peace. This realization came when I was on the beach watching the waves hit the shoreline. They were just so beautiful and so peaceful. And I realized something. If I was in the middle of this body of water, the waves would feel overwhelming, like I was drowning, like I couldn't keep my head above the water. But here on the shore, they were peaceful and beautiful. But here's the thing. They're the same waves. The same waves that were swallowing me up back in the spring now presented me with the beauty of redemption. And it's funny how perspective can change based on how you're in the middle of the wave or watching from the shoreline. Our struggles and disappointments can bring us blessings if we allow God to see us through the hardest times. And so I looked up kind of what to do if you were actually, like, literally drowning. And I think it really does reflect our spiritual lives as well. So one, keep your head up and try to breathe normally. So don't panic. And I think this goes for our spiritual lives as well. Like, think back to the last time worrying or panicking about your plans allowed God to work in a situation. It really usually doesn't work very well, does it? And a verse comes to mind. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think that's one of those, like, do as I say, not as I do kind of situations, because I definitely wasn't keeping my head up or breathing normally during that time. I was a mess. I didn't allow God to speak peace about the situation into my life. And now, like, when I look down at this belly and just how everything worked out, it just feels kind of silly, honestly, for how helpless I felt in that situation. Two, toss away anything weighing you down. I think we can all kind of attest to how life just seemed to get, like, a little bit simpler during COVID. And maybe there was, like, just an antsy part of us that actually really liked that part of COVID. Like, no weekend plans, no family gatherings that you had to go to but didn't really want to go to, no long commutes to work. For Travis and I, we flocked to our backyard. That's where we found refuge. We kind of made it like our own little sanctuary. We had long talks there. We cried there. We fell more in love there. And when all the distractions were kind of put to the side, the things that we have left were the most important things. God, our marriage, and the love and support of our family. And I just try to remind myself of that time in hopes that we never allow our lives to get so busy that we forget what really, truly matters. Now, also during this time, Travis and I were really into the musical Hamilton. And so there's a song in the musical that uses the verse Micah 4:4 that reads, "Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken." So in the musical and in real life, George Washington uses this verse as he speaks of his vision for his retirement from being the president of the United States. And for Travis and me, it just really spoke a message of, like, contentment to us. We talked about how, like, our vine and fig tree was the simple life we had created during COVID. And that if nothing ever changed from that moment, that we would be okay. That life would be okay. It's three, attract attention to your difficulties if there are people around by shouting, waving, and or splashing water. Now, I think this one may be tricky for some of you because we need to ask for help. We need to let people into our lives and share our struggles. We, the church, are meant to support each other. If one of us is drowning, We should all be grabbing life jackets, alarming the sirens, sending out a search mission. And the church needs to stick together, but we first need to allow our individual selves to be okay with admitting that things are not okay. Four, if you are tired, lie on your back and tilt your head back as well so your eyes look to the sky. Well, even I think if you're 100% trust God and his plan, I think we can all agree that going through struggle and hard times is just exhausting. We weren't promised that it would be easy, and sometimes we honestly just don't have enough energy left to put towards a situation. And that's okay. Kind of another church cliche that I really don't like is, God won't give you anything you can't handle. I think there's a lot that we face alone that we can't handle. But that's why we rely on God to kind of keep us afloat. To keep the waves at bay when all we have left in us is just to kind of float and pray. So tilt your head back and look your eyes up to the sky, because God will not forsake you. Five, try to stay as relaxed as possible. Tense muscles use up more oxygen than relaxed muscles, and staying oxygenated is very important. I can think back to that time, and I just remember being tense and worried and fearful. I gave a lot of energy to worrying about what will happen, what will be, and kind of what would become of certain situations. And I wasted a lot of energy on something that I really couldn't necessarily change. And where did it get me? I put myself through turmoil and honestly kind of like gut-wrenching sadness that really didn't have to be. Stressing about my situation didn't change anything, and in fact, it probably made it worse. When faced with situations that we don't want to be in, we have to remember that someone is on our side. We aren't alone in the middle of that ocean. We need to wait and just breathe and wait for our lifeboat to appear. But I think if we've been flailing around trying to save ourselves, you may miss seeing the approaching lifeboat because you've lost hope, or you're distracted, or you have simply worn yourself out. And it reminds me of the passage that Daniel shared a couple weeks ago, and he actually shared it this morning too, and I didn't know he was going to do that, about Jesus kind of sleeping on the boat during the middle of the storm. He wasn't asleep because he didn't like care about the disciples or care about their safety. He was sleeping because he knew things were going to be okay, that he knew the waves weren't going to engulf the boat, that worrying wasn't going to make the situation any better. So I think it's important to kind of stress that this isn't just like a lift yourself up off your bootstraps kind of message. I think life is an ebb and flow. And I think sometimes that ebb can feel pretty rough. But we know that God doesn't want to see you suffer. I think he wants joy and peace for his children. And I honestly believe that it hurt his heart to see me crying about changed plans. That he wanted to lift me up and just tell me, Amanda, this pain, it's only temporary. I have plans for you if you would just hold on. I think life is going to bring pain. And I think that's to be expected. I don't think we should expect our lives to be all rainbows, but not expect the storms. The writer of Ecclesiastes speaks of this kind of ebb and flow. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. And time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Life is meant to ebb and flow. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're alone in the middle of the ocean drowning. And other times you're going to be on the shore breathing in God's blessings. Same water, same life, different circumstances. I think the key is knowing that God is there no matter where you're at, as he cares for his children. And the crux of my struggle, I sat down and wrote a poem that expressed my sorrow and my hope for better. And I've never actually shared this before, but when I shared it today, just because I feel like it kind of demonstrates, you know, being in the middle of those waves and then having the hope to make it to the shore. Doing anything to forget the truth. Daydreams play on repeat. Plans I thought we put down in ink. Now I'm drowning in what could have been. How long will we have to wait? Wait, can you hear my heartbeat? Time won't stand still for the least of these. Tears turning into the drink that tries to intoxicate me. Waves crash and they tear at me. No matter the pain, I know your tent is free. I know peace comes to those who believe. But Lord, just help me to see. Lord, help me believe in the things unseen. Seasons change before I get a chance to breathe. Spring into summer and fall ling deep into my disbelief. Despair found its way into my speech. They tell me just to wish to be set free from this negativity, and so it will be. Forgive them. They don't know what they can't see. I'll retreat, and then maybe my heart won't feel the words heat. Life seems to be so easy from their golden seat. Waves crash, and they tear at me. No matter the pain, I know your tent is free. I know peace comes to those who believe. But Lord, just help me to see. Lord, help me believe in the things unseen. I saw a rainbow today and it reminded me that your promises remain true for me. But the season makes a fool of the dreams we dreamed. Life is sour and sweet and altogether mean. When will my head and heart admit defeat? Your words will bring me to my knees. I'll listen for your voice amongst my uncertainties. I pray that one day we'll look back and remember the day I saw the unseen. Waves crash and they tear at me. No matter the pain, I know your tent is free. I know peace comes to those who believe. But Lord, just help me to see. Lord, help me believe in the things unseen. If you're in the waves right now, struggling to just catch your breath, let's bring your worries to God. To live in faith that there is beauty when we get to the shore. And you may not be able to see the shore right now. It may seem like you'll never make it there. But know that your sorrows and our pain are only temporary, and they will come crashing and just dissipate on that shore. One day you'll be standing on the shore wondering how you made it out of those waves, but how beautiful that will be. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today from different places. Some of us are soaking in our blessings from the shore, and some of us are drowning in the waves. We know that you are limitless, and you are there no matter where we are today. I pray that we put our faith and energy into you, because we know that your love is abundant. Thank you for allowing us to feel the pain of this world and still coming to the conclusion that you are the answer, that you are a savior in the hardest times. If anyone here is struggling to keep their head above water, I pray that you show them that you are still there, that the shore is close if we just believe. Amen.